When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Thursday, October 7th, and this is the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to continue our progress report, our mid-season look at some of the programs and Power 5 conferences heading into the early signing period, which is now less than 3 months away. Last week, we tackled the Big Ten. Let's talk some ACC storylines, and what better way to do that than to talk to Mr. International himself, Brian Doan. He's a national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, and I call him Mr. International because we are in an international soccer break in the world of football. And what better time to have you on the show, Brian, than during an international break?
Yo, when you called me early this morning or texted me, said, "Can you get on?" I'm like, "Well, of course I expected it. We got, you know, U.S. Jamaica Thursday in Austin. Three games in, what, 7 days, 8 days now for the U.S.? You get 6 points in this, you better. You can figure out a way to get seven, and I feel really good about qualifying for the World Cup."
You just used up your 30 seconds of soccer talk right off the bat.
I was going to say, I knew I wasn't going to have time, but man, oh man, get the result against Jamaica, go to Panama, come home for Costa Rica, let's go. You better win your two home games. Better.
And by the way, for those keeping track at home, Mexico right now leading the CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, and they have to kick things off with Canada. So if you're a U.S. fan, that's one game that you're going to be keeping a watch on. Obviously, right now we're in baseball mode. I think the whole country
they still play that
scoreboard watching and things like that, right? Down when the pennant race is on, everyone's kind of tracking what everyone else is doing. That's one thing we can do, I think, as a nation is keep an eye on that Mexico Canada game. But
eye on baseball and you watch the soccer game.
Yeah, exactly. Let's keep an eye and watch, but also let's talk now about ACC storylines, and let's kick things off with North Carolina. They were one of the programs that we highlighted before the season back in late spring, early summer. And when you're talking about these 2022 class rankings, North Carolina's right there vying for a top 10 spot, and they have a lot left on the board, which I think gives them room to ascend in the rankings.
There is room to ascend in the rankings, especially when you look at, you know, who's on the board. But you also realize that I know people are making a big deal of maybe being able to get 32 in this class because of what the NCAA is about to pass with transfers and stuff. But the crunch is still 85 for a lot of these schools, and Carolina is going to be one of those. I mean, Carolina can still climb in the rankings. You're 100% right. They're third in the ACC. They're 13th nationally, but there's not a ton of targets right now on the board for them. You know, you have, look at Zach Rice, the five-star offensive tackle out of Virginia, who I know he hasn't trimmed it down yet, and there's still talk of whether it's, you know, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Bama, or Virginia, North Carolina. To me, it's what it's always been. It's a Virginia, North Carolina battle. And so we'll see how that shapes up. And you have the receiver Andre Green out of Virginia, you know, another four-star player that they're on. And he just visited North Carolina unofficial this past weekend. You're sitting there waiting for that Clemson official to take place and for Clemson to really step on the gas, try to close him out. But then you realize that he knows, you know, a lot of the Carolina kids. They just got George Pettaway, who he knows very well, the four-star running back out of Virginia. He's close with, you know, his dad is close with Deion Glover out of Virginia Beach, who is Tony Grimes' dad, who's sophomore corner at North Carolina. So I think he's one that you really watch. And then kind of, you know, they've kicked the tires on Jaden Gould, he's committed to USC. He's from New Jersey, you know, play corner safety, but we all know what's going on with USC. So, you know, I could see Carolina, you know, seeing if they can get some interest there. And then what do you do? You know, can they get involved with Jake Pope to a higher level, the Bama commit, but also Benji Gosnell, brother plays at North Carolina, kind of a Carolina Virginia Tech thing. He wants to play tight end, it sounds like, and Tech is offering him that. Carolina's more on the linebacker side. If he embraces the linebacker role, I think Carolina becomes more of a factor there. But listen, they've done a great job, Blair, and I know I'm kind of going on and on here. They've done a really good job with, they have 14 commits, right? But then you look at it, they have a 5-star and 8 4-stars in them. So they're really maximizing value with what right now does not look like it'll be a huge class.
Yeah, the quality's there, and they've been very selective, right? I feel like they could easily have 20, 22 commitments, like maybe some of these other schools, but they are saving space for the Zach Rices, right? And the Andre Greens and the higher caliber prospects, which I think gives them that chance to eventually get into that top 10. And obviously with a good finish to the season, I think they could be on the move up there. Another school that's just outside the top 10 nationally, Clemson. I think the big storyline or the big question we had heading into the season was whether another school would be able to dethrone them from the ACC, I guess the perch, right, that they're on in terms of recruiting. And right now they are behind Florida State, not on the field, but in recruiting. And when you talk about the rankings, but also just like North Carolina and some of these other higher level programs, they are, I think, taking it a bit slower. They're not taking as many commitments as they probably could. No official visits, obviously, during the summer. So they have been more methodical and more selective than just your typical high elite program.
Well, it's two things. And when you say that they could take more, listen, the thing that coaches are really ticked off about is the NCAA. Yes, they brought everybody back, you know, and said that, you know, last year you didn't use up on the eligibility. And so it has created an overflow in the program. And like I mentioned, it looks like they're extending the class limit from 25 to 32 to accommodate transfers and especially programs losing kids, like if you look at the Temples of the world. But make no mistake, this is about 85. This is about schools really struggling to get 85. And so Clemson's sitting there with 12 commits and you're like, okay, 12. And so maybe they're not as highly ranked as you're used to seeing Clemson being. They're, like you mentioned, they're second in the ACC. And then you go look at the commits and you realize the only 3-star happens to be a kicker. So, I mean,
and that's a good kicker right there. Yes. If you're a 3-star right. kicker, that means you're essentially yes. a 5-star player.
Well, yeah. And so you got 2 5-stars there and the rest are 4-stars. You know, they've got an unbelievable class. And, you know, like North Carolina, they're sitting there waiting on Andre Green to see what he can do. And, you know, I still have a crystal ball pick in for Carolina on that one, but I could see him going to Clemson. I think if Clemson pushes and he has great visit there, that could happen. You know, they're trying to get the defensive end Marvin Jones out of Florida. He's high on their board. Running back, do they go after Trevor Etienne? And well, they're going after him, but do they land him? And, you know, can they get Curtis Perry, the D tackle out of Alabama? And I know out in your neck of the woods, they're trying with Ernest Green, the offensive lineman from St. John Bosco, which I think will be a tough pull because of how late they got involved. But listen, Clemson may not be dominating like you normally think they would on the field this year. And there's, you know, you can talk about whatever the reasons are for that, including breaking in a new quarterback. But I mean, they're still killing it on the recruiting trail. It just, they happen to be really selective in who they're taking. And I don't expect a big class. Like I spoke with, you know, Anna Hickey, who runs our 24/7 site for Clemson. And she's like, yeah, I think it's going to be a really small class. I don't think it's going to get much, you know, a lot more. And then the other thing, you know, we talk about the 85, but in this day and age, man, you better save a couple scholarships for transfers in the spring or in the summer also. And that all impacts class size and it all impacts class rankings.
Yeah, I think right now, when you look at a school like Clemson, they're going to be bringing in some official visitors later in the season. And right now with the transfer portal, everything is so fluid too. You have to account for that. You have to account for attrition. And then while you're doing that, while you're putting the finishing touches on 22, you already have an eye on 23, right? You're hosting visitors unofficially. You're able to contact them, evaluate them. Obviously, Clemson is one of those schools in on Arch Manning already. So you have to think that a lot of the effort and energy and resources that could be going towards finishing 22, you have to kind of start and get the wheels rolling in the next class and the class after that. So there's a lot of different juggling to do, especially when you're at a program like Clemson that can recruit at a different pace and still be fine when the early signing period rolls around. We are joined by Brian Doan. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Doan247. He's a national recruiting analyst. analyst. Brian, Florida State still in the top 10 rankings for the 2022 class, obviously struggling on the field. And I think the same could be said about Miami, which, you know, got off to a really good start in recruiting, was hosting big barbecues, was kind of building a lot of that off-field hype. But neither program has been able to deliver there in the state of Florida. And we're kind of seeing some similar trajectories and a lot of different rumors about hot seats and things like that. How do you think all of that affects recruiting down the stretch?
That was
one of those sighs where
that's a lot to unpack, man.
That's the sound you make when Giazzi Sardis messes something up inside the box.
It is, or when Greg Berhalter starts with a formation they've never used. But I digress. So listen, these are two different things that we're talking about. The only similarities right now between Florida State and Miami are both are struggling on the field. Because Florida State, look, they haven't gotten any commits since the season started, but it's not like people went into this season thinking Florida State's going to be this top 10 program on the field. They're coming off of, what, they win three games last year in Norvell's first year?
We knew it was going to be a project, bringing in a player like McKenzie, who was going to be, kind of allow them to bridge that gap between classes.
Yeah, I mean, so they've managed to hold on to everybody so far. You held on to them through the Jacksonville State loss, which was, something you never thought you'd say. I mean, I'm a little older than you, Blair, and I can actually remember when Florida State stunk before Bobby Bowden was there, but you didn't think it'd get back to some trouble. But these kids that committed all knew that there was some, it was going to be a rebuilding process. And is there concern that Travis Hunter wound up, the top player in the country, wound up at Georgia on an unofficial visit? I'm not one to hit the panic button easily on things. And so I don't do it on here because there's the idea that maybe he wanted to just go to a top 10 matchup to a place that's kind of close to home. If he sets an official there, there's trouble. If he all of a sudden he sets an official to Bama or Florida or wherever, then you worry a little bit more. But he's been to Florida State so many times, I think he could probably get into the building with like retina scanning because they know him so much. And so I'm not overly concerned about him. And, the one thing that Florida State does need, and I was talking to, our guy Knowles 247, Josh Newberg, about it earlier, was, they just need some more playmakers if they're going to compete at the highest level. And so that's where guys like Travis Hunter and Sam McCall come in. You want to make sure you keep the quarterback AJ Duffy out of IMG. Those things are all important, but I don't think it's time to sound the alarm yet, because the expectation level of fans may be different than the expectation level of recruits and prospects at this point, because they are understanding that it is a tough build right now and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, and it's called recruiting, right? So I think the coaches have to adjust their pitch, and they have to now basically say, hey, this is where we're at. Right. And you're good enough as a recruit to come in, compete for time and change this thing around. That's where the salesman comes in recruiting. And I feel like they've assembled a staff that is able to do that.
Well, they have. And they've done a good job of connecting with the kids and getting them on campus early on. And they did that whole, June 1st midnight thing where kids are rolling in. And, so there was a lot of things working in their favor. And again, it's going to take some time. And then you go to the South. The thing that's concerning to me is they have nine commits in the class and they're still in the mix for a ton of good players, right? So you have all that, but you only have two kids from Florida committed and you have zero from South Florida committed. And listen, man, again, I remember watching that game against Nebraska in the Orange Bowl way back when Nebraska went for two. And I just the persona of the U was they were doing it with local kids and they were doing it kids from South Florida. There's too much talent in South Florida to not have anybody committed. Doesn't mean they're not trying. I mean, there's a bunch of kids still on the board, but you want to recruit your wheelhouse. And so now if you're Miami, you're going to try to make sure you hold on to the Kamari Rogers, out of Mississippi, Markeith Williams, who's an Orlando kid. You just want to make sure that if you're Miami, and also Traquan Fagans out of Alabama, I mean, those are three kids in your secondary that kind of the core of your class right now. And none of them are local per se. I mean, that's a concern to me with Miami. And then also they seem so up and down within games and week to week. I mean, look, we know Florida State isn't good right now. Right. So our expectation level is low, but Miami kind of thought you'd get a little bit more, and it just hasn't materialized. And then when you start looking at that, you know, they got two kids from Florida, two from Georgia, and then one each from Bama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas. I mean, you're the U. Get those South Florida kids.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the issues, right? There's, I feel like recruits probably thought this program would be further along and they haven't backed that up on the field. And so that's where you get some of that hesitation, not only from coaches and the recruits, but their families and the people that kind of help them make decisions. So that's going to be another storyline to monitor here with 2.5 months to go into the early signing period. Before we go, another program right now is hovering within that top 20 range. That would be Virginia Tech. And they get a big chance, Brian, this coming weekend when they face Notre Dame to, I don't want to say add to that class because they've already got 22 commitments, right? So this is one of those schools that has been able to replenish in the 22 class. But I think that this game coming up allows them to start building some momentum and building some buzz with 23 while also, you know, kind of highlighting themselves on a national platform.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that work with this thing. And it's funny, I was talking to Everett Watkins from our VT Scoop site about, you know, just getting ready for the weekend and the list. And it's impressive. And it's really, it's an interesting group of kids from the standpoint of you have your commits who are solid. You have your commits who other schools are starting to, you know, knock on their door a bit. And you have some other kids who look to be tech leans in the 22 class. And you have some really good 23s coming on board. So I think you hit a lot of different things. And, you know, if you just look at the uncommitted kids who are going to be there, like I mentioned with North Carolina, Benji Gosnell, he's supposed to be there. And he's a former Ohio State commit tight end. I like him, I think, when I watch his tape, more as a linebacker than a tight end, but he can definitely play either. And so it's interesting to see him there. You have another kid, Malachi Madison, a defensive lineman out of Virginia, who's announcing October 13th. Well, he's going there this weekend. So, you know, we can try to connect the dots a little bit on that one. I look at it that way. And then there's another linebacker, Reed Pullian from Life Christian in Virginia, who has Tech really high on his list. And he's really starting to come into his own as a player this season after having kind of a disjointed season. So you have those in the 22 class who are uncommitted worth keeping an eye on. You also have Tyler Banks, who is supposed to show up from Virginia, who is really a heavy Ole Miss lean at this point. So can they kind of swing the pendulum in their way? And so then you have Johnny Garrett, the offensive lineman from Massachusetts, who schools are starting to knock on his door. He's playing tight end up there, but he's going to go to Tech as a offensive lineman. So it's interesting from that standpoint. And then you have some other people coming who you look at, like Keith Sampson, a 23 four-star out of North Carolina. He's supposed to be there. And it just goes on, you know, Bryson Sanders, who's a four-star lineman from Tennessee in the 23 class. He's supposed to be there. And the list just kind of goes on and on with some really impressive kids. And I think what it means is I'm going to be on Saturday night really busy tracking down kids and also on Sunday. So I think for me, It's really a great showpiece for Virginia Tech, and it's going to be against Notre Dame, which everybody and their mother knows about Notre Dame, whether you're a football fan or not. So it should be a really good thing to keep an eye on. I mean, it's a big thing for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big weekend across college football, and you can follow all the scoop over at 247sports.com and follow Brian Doan over on Twitter at BrianDoan247. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Remember, if you want to send Brian Doan your U.S. versus Jamaica score lines, your predictions, you could also do that over on his Twitter account. Brian, pleasure as always. Enjoy the matches this weekend. By the way, Sunday's game, you can watch on Paramount Plus if you want to plug the company line.
We do want to watch on Paramount Plus, and that's going to be really important because I'm going to be probably at a soccer game at some point, and picking up a relative at the airport, so I'm going to need to be mobile with it.
Dude, I love it. I love it. You look at you. Look at you, the grown man doing new age things. I appreciate you, Brian.
Oh, yes.
All right, that is Brian Doan. Remember, stay locked into 247sports.com for all the latest buzz and recruiting scoop on your favorite college football team. And if you like the show, please rate, review us, and throw us those 5 stars. So for national recruiting analyst Brian Doan and our producer Lance Glenn, I am Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for listening to the 247 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.